Okay, now if you want to follow me in the scriptures, turn to Matthew 18, verses 18, 19, and 20. Now let me say something about this message. The final service last year when we were in a crusade here, during the worship time, the Lord inspired me with a new thought. Well, how come you was messing around somewhere else? I wasn't. I was being impressed by the worship. Amen. The Lord was talking to me, and I picked that message green and shared the thought with you. But I've had an opportunity to do some work on it, look up some scriptures, pray about it, and I have preached it several times at other churches. Now, you mean you don't have a new service every time? No. You singers have a new song every time? Hello. It don't hurt for you to sing it once or preach it once. And if the Lord inspires it, you can sing it again or preach it again. Amen. Amen. And one evangelist a number of years ago, he was announced in the pulpit and said he has preached 5,000 sermons. When he got to the pulpit, he said, I want to correct that. I've preached 5,000 times. But some of the sermons I've preached over and over, God has given me some good messages, and they are good when he inspires them again. But I trust the Lord for his inspiration. I can't do it on my own. I don't have any special gifts, but I have him. Amen. And I have his special gift, the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Amen. Amen. So in Matthew 18, verses 18, 19, and 20, the title of this message is A Special Guest at Church Today, in this service, right here now. Okay. A Special Guest at Church Today. Matthew 18, verse number 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Verse number 19. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Verse number 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, will you join me for a brief word of prayer, asking the Lord for his anointing on his word, his anointing on his servant, and his anointing on his people. Amen. Would you join me for that brief prayer? Father, we come to you, looking to you, for your anointing upon your word. Lord, for the word itself tells us that the letter killeth, but the spirit maketh alive. Let your anointing be upon your word. Let your anointing be upon this thy servant, Lord, because I have no special gifts that enable me to do the job God has chosen me to do. But with you, Lord, and with your anointing, it can be accomplished. And for your anointing upon your people, Lord, don't let a person leave here this morning without feeling and experiencing the anointing of the Lord upon their life, and that they might leave here with joy within their bosom and crying out to you with glee and happiness and gladness, Lord. Grant it to be that your anointing might be experienced by each of us here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Now, in verse number 18, Jesus tells us how much power we have individually. Now, this is talking about you and me individually. He says, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Each Christian has this power individually. By yourself. God has provided it. And in verse number 19, Jesus tells us how much power we have corporately. He said, if as many as two of you agree on any one thing as touching him, it shall be done. Now, when we have prayer for the sick at the conclusion of the service this morning, we're going to pray together. We're going to pray together. And I'm going to ask for those seasoned Christians, which James said is is the leaders in the church. Let him call for the elders of the church. Now, I believe in prayer from the men and the women. It don't have to be just men, okay? The men and the women. God made both men and women. Now, I was saved under a lady pastor. I didn't know anything about pastors, ladies or men, when I got saved. But I'll tell you what, I knew I was saved when the Lord got through transforming my life. Amen. I went back to the men that I'd been working with for 4 years, told them I got saved on Sunday night. One of them said, I've heard that before, it'll last about 6 months. I checked up on it just recently, it's been 66 years plus. Amen. 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 Yes. Yes. It don't go away if you get the real thing. And when he transforms your life, it's a new life. Totally new. Totally different. Praise God. Oh, I feel the Lord in such special way here this morning. The Lord is here in this place. I feel it all over my body. Praise God. God is good, and he is here to bless every individual that'll open themselves to him this morning. Now, in verse number 20, Jesus tells us that at any time we gather together, he tells us what he will do. He says, I will be there. Amen. When you have church, I'm going to have church with you. Amen. I'm going to have church with you. You know, Paul and Silas had lost all of their advantage down in the jail, sitting on the floor with their feet in the stocks, and it was cold. And it was cold and damp, but you know what they did? They had church. Amen. They had church. Yeah. They prayed, and the prisoners heard them. Amen. They sang, and the prisoners heard them. You know, why did the Lord put that in there? Because he wanted us to know that when he was in revival with us, that whoever was there was going to hang around. And Paul, through revelation, understood what the jailer was going to try to do, take his own life. He thought all of his prisoners was gone. Paul said, do thyself no harm. We're all still here. Why didn't they leave when the Lord shook the jailhouse and opened the locks and opened all the doors? Who would be in their regular mind and leaving a Holy Ghost revival in process? Amen. Amen. Revival was on. And you know, it don't tell us in the scriptures that any of them prisoners were involved, but it did tell us they heard them praying, they heard them singing, and I'll tell you, I believe some of them got involved. You see, they even had a baptizing. I don't know where they had found something big enough to put enough water in to baptize them, and it was cold water. Okay, I've done some baptizings in cold water. Yet don't take you long to do a baptizing. Amen. Amen. And I baptized them in Lacamas Creek that comes right off of the ice flow up on the mountain, you know. And it was cold. It was cold. It was cold. It didn't take long to get a baptizing, but we got them baptized. My mother-in-law, when she got saved, they took her down to the creek and broke the ice so they could get her in there to baptize her. Amen. Praise God. And she served the Lord the rest of her life. Anyway, let me get back to my message here this morning. This verse number 20, is Jesus' note to us telling us that he will be with us in this service here today in this church, in this city. He will be our guest. He is here. There could be other guests in our church service that would be impressive and would draw a large crowd of people. Our American president could be our guest in our service and honor our American president. I honor him, and I don't care for you knowing I voted for him. Amen. That's my vote, but I share it with you. Amen. And Kay and I pray for him daily. Is that all right? Amen. Amen. We believe that God put him into office. The American people didn't. God put him into office, and God has what he needs for every decision that he has to make. And we believe that he's going to help America. And he's got a lot of people praying for him. Amen. Amen. Our American president could be our guest in our service. That would be nice. We could shake his hand and listen to his speech and take his picture and have some fellowship with him. But no doubt that his busy schedule would not allow him time to visit this church today. But in the event that our American president was our guest in our service, we would honor him and be glad to get him. And there would be a large number of people would come. Or we could have a well-known popular sports figure could be our guest. It could be exciting to hear about his or her marvelous accomplishments. And that could be exciting and make us feel good about them. This could draw a crowd of persons from the community. We would probably have a house full of people that would be good. Nothing wrong with that. The Lord wants us to fill his house. He said, go into the highways and hedges and streets and lanes of the city and compel them to come that my house might be full. God has always had a house. Is that okay? You're not saved by being in that house, but it gets you closer to the power that does get you saved. Amen. Amen. And ever since the Lord saved me, I've tried not to miss a service. I'm afraid I'll miss something if I miss a service. It'll be the one I needed the most. Amen. Or we could have a very successful popular movie star that would draw a crowd of persons from our area to our church for this service. It could be impressive as they tell us about the movies they have starred in. These exciting stories that have been written by persons who are capable of making fiction seem real. Of course, we would welcome and honor that person and make them feel good in our presence. But none of these persons are likely to be our guests in our church. Many persons in our community may wonder why anyone would want to be a guest in our church. I want to share an illustration with you about an experience that I heard some time ago. I heard of an elderly man who was dedicated to his church and attended it diligently in all kinds of weather. He was alone, just him. He had no car, and he walked to church. Next door to him lived a man who claimed to be an atheist. This elderly Christian was friendly to his neighbor, and the neighbor observed this man's commitment and began to think, I wonder what is so attractive to my neighbor that supports his commitment. He goes when it snows. He goes when it hails. He goes when it rains. He goes when it's cold. He goes when it's hot. And he walks all the way. I think I will go down there and see. So he went. The message was preached, and God touched the heart of the atheist. And he was saved. And no longer was an atheist because Jesus was a special guest in that church that day. Praise God. Amen. And so God transformed the life of that atheist and he became a Christian. But the faithfulness of that Christian was what impressed the atheist. The faithfulness of that Christian. In the event one or more of those persons mentioned were our guest, in all due respect to them after they have come and gone, what benefit of lasting results would be ours? The focus would be on them, not on Jesus. Not that that would be bad, but that wouldn't save anybody. But let us be reminded that there is a special guest with us now in this service, this morning, right here, who brings with him much benefit to give to each of us. He wrote us a letter telling us to expect him at this time. It is written in Matthew 18, verse number 20. Jesus' words, again, as I've already read them this morning, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You know, Paul and Silas was just two, but they was having church. And I believe heaven said, hey, I hear my boys. They're having church. I'm going to go to church. Jesus said, I'm going to go to church. We're going to have church. So he come down and grabbed the top of the jail and shook the doors open. Amen. And Jesus was there. What a wonderful revival they had in that jail that night. Jesus would say, I'm with you now here in this service. Take hold of me. I have brought many blessings to benefit you today. Amen. Now listen, I've listed about 16 different things that I want to share with you, and he's got more than that. Amen. But he's got a whole lot. He's got everything that you need here this morning. And the time of prayer following this message this morning, the Lord will be listening for what you want, what you need. He will be hearing you. He will be listening to you because he is here in this service and he wants you to tell him what you need. First, he's got salvation for your soul. Kay and I pray together each morning and we thank the Lord for every blessing, every benefit, every gift, every excitement, every joy. And most of all, we thank him for eternal life, the gift of salvation. The greatest gift that a person can have is the gift of salvation. He's got salvation for our soul, transformed his life. You know, when I came to the Lord on February the 3rd, 1952, and brought to him my sinful life, he transformed my life. And that's why it's 66 years and still going, not 6 months, because he transformed my life. I'm not going to go through those details, but he transformed my life. I didn't change my mind. He changed my life. It was a new life. Salvation for my soul. Holy Ghost baptism for your spirit. You know, when I became a Christian, I was saved in a Pentecostal church. I didn't know anything about Pentecost, but I got a heart full of it that night. And I began to seek the Lord for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I gave God all kinds of promises if he had just given me the Holy Ghost. He didn't want to make a deal with me. He already had the program worked out. Amen. You know, I'd give my right arm and go through life left-handed if you'd just give me the Holy Ghost. And I told him I'd give my eyesight and go through life blind. He didn't want to make any bargains with me. He already had it taken care of. But you know, one night during a service, about a year later, of course, every time an invitation was made, I hit the altar. Amen. If you want to get God in your life, get with him in prayer. Amen. Amen. And so the pastor said, now we're going to pray for the sick. Now, if you want prayer, you need a touch on your body, come and get in line here. Then she said to the rest of us, said, now, if you want to be in this prayer, get up here, and we're going to pray for the sick. Amen. What's the benefit of praying together in a group? Well, nobody can go away and say, look what I done. When God does his work, when God does his work, nobody don't need to get the credit for it. The Lord does it. I can't save. I can't heal. I can't do any of those things, but I know him who can and does. Amen. I'm on his team. And when he tells me what to say, I can say it and he will confirm it. Amen. 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 Okay. And the Holy Ghost baptism. And he give you joy in abundance. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Our little kids used to sing that. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Ha, 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 ha. Amen. Yes, the joy of the Lord is our strength. He will give you an abundance of joy. You cannot be discouraged when you're full of joy. Amen. If your joy is leaked out, have a good prayer meeting, just you and the Lord, and he'll restore your joy, and you will be all right. Healing for your body. And he could say this morning, I bore my back to the cat of nine tails, and I purchased your healing. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He purchased it for us. It's available. Healing for your body. Faith for your performance. You're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Amen. And he's given to each one of us that have come into his team a measure of faith. And he tells us that in his word. A measure of faith. So don't say, I don't have any faith. If you're a Christian, you do. Maybe you just haven't been using it. Discover it and use it. Use that faith and it will work for you. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. Must believe what? Believe that he is God. Believe that he can do the job. Believe that he will fulfill every promise that he's made to mankind. Oh, God. And faith for your performance and forgiveness in unreserved portions, that all manner of sin shall be forgiven unto man. You know, when I came to the Lord, I had a lot to give him. But he just kind of said to me, give me the whole bag full. Amen. Amen. I've got forgiveness for you. Forgiveness of whatever you've done. And we're gonna turn our back on it. And we're going to go forward together. Just give me your hand. We're going to walk together. Amen. And he fixed for all that is broken. I'll tell you, he's the fixer. He's the fixer. And he found some people while he was here walking on this earth. And he fixed them. He found a man in the cemetery who was demented, who was running naked, who was frightening people. But the Lord saved him, cast the devils out of him, found some clothes to get on him. Amen. And then he said, I want to go with you, Jesus. And Jesus said, go home and tell your family and your friends what the Lord has done for you. He sent him out as an evangelist. Is that all right? Amen. And the woman who came to the well, who had 5 failed marriages, what a mess she must have been. But he said, if you'd ask of me, I'll give you a drink of living water and you'll never thirst again. And she said, Lord, evermore give me this drink of water. And he gave her a drink, and she got so excited she forgot about her water pot and rushed back to town and took the message, I found the Messiah. I found the Messiah. And they went out to see. And then they told her, we came because you said you'd found him. Now we've found him. We know you found him. We've found him. And he's touched our lives and ministered to us. Hallelujah. Oh, great God. Fix for all that is broken, gifts and talents in great portions. If you felt like you're pretty untalented or ungifted, just get with Jesus and let him give you some more gifts and talents. Every Christian has some spiritual gifts. If you're not a Christian, you may have some gifts, but you don't have spiritual gifts. There is a difference. Gifts has man in it. Spiritual gifts has God and man in it. That's the difference. Amen. Amen. And when you didn't feel like you were gifted, God can take care of that. And he can get you on the work crew. And love without measure. He is the lover. Jesus was asked, what's the first and greatest commandment? And he said, to love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. And he added something to the question. And love your neighbor as yourself. He wasn't asked about that one. Then he went on to say, these things do, and you've fulfilled the whole law. Now, you don't have to worry about 10 commandments. You don't have to worry about 20 more that's been added on somebody's idea. He said, just love the Lord and love people, and you've got it all in the bag. Amen. Love is what God is all about. And God is love. And he's offering you a full partnership with him. You see, people have said to me, I don't want to turn my life over to someone else. Jesus don't want that either. He don't want to control your life. He don't want to think, reason, and choose for you. He don't want to want you to be his puppet. He wants you to be his partner. Hey, there's a whole lot of difference. You don't lose anything. He don't take away your mentality where you can't be an individual. Think, reason, and choose. You know, the Lord has spoken to me a lot of times, and sometimes I'm wishing he'd give me some more specifics. He speaks to me, and he gives me principles, and I have to figure the rest of it out by myself. I have to put the specifics in there. He's not going to think, reason, and choose for you and me. He's going to direct us and guide us, and when we need his help, we can ask from it, and if we meet an opponent that is bigger than we are, he will just call on your big brother. He'll take care of it for you. Amen. Amen. He's got it all in check. You know, a full partnership with him. That's what he wants. Now remember, he don't do any of the secular work. He don't build any buildings. He don't teach any classes. He does teach individuals. He doesn't preach any sermons. He does work with the preacher. Amen. But he don't build any buildings, and he don't do any work, and he don't lead the children's church. That's our job, with his help and in partnership with him. And oh, what wonderful blessings it brings when we walk in partnership with him. Amen. And sometimes we find ourselves in error. I cannot speak for you, but I haven't been perfect. I've been accused of being perfect, a perfect nuisance. And I probably was guilty of that. Amen. Guilty of that. But, you know, he's not only cares for you when you come to him and turn your life over to him, surrender to the partnership he's invited you to. But, you know, if you've got something that you've been struggling with and you need some help with it, he says, cast it up on me. I'll take care of it. Well, what you going to do with it, Lord, if I give it to you? I'm going to take it out into the sea. I'm going to find the deepest spot. I'm going to take that old ugly thing, go down to the bottom, dig a hole, bury it in it, cover it up, turn my back on it, and it will never be remembered anymore by heaven. Amen. Praise God. He's not only in the saving business, he's in the rescuing business. And I'm glad that he's in the rescuing business, because I've needed some rescuing at times. What did you do? None of your business. Amen. It's between me and the Lord. I didn't mean that to sound negative, you know. But it's between me and the Lord. And he's not only in the saving business. If you've got something that's been troubling you, give it to him. Let him take care of it. Let him bury it in the deepest sea. Turn his back against it. And then come back and say, give me your hand. We're going to walk together. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Oh, praise his wonderful name. Solution for your problems. He's got solutions for your problems. He's the problem solver. He is the problem solver. He can solve every problem that you got. Bread for your daily food. The bread of heaven is our daily food. Well, we might think if we'd have been among Israel, you know, we'd have had the manna from heaven. You have the manna from heaven now. The bread of heaven is Jesus. He's in your life. He's available. And you can eat of that spiritually. Praise God. And he also takes care of your natural bread too. Amen. Your bread and water will be sure. Well, that wouldn't be much food. If you'd been without for 3 days, you'd think it was all right. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Water is the best thing that we can drink. Every other drink has a whole lot of water in it. And the one that made that knew what he was doing. Amen. So water's not going to hurt you. Amen. Good stuff. Amen. So, the bread from heaven, friendship in great numbers. The Lord has given me so many friends. And as Kay and I pray together each morning, one of the things we thank the Lord for is our friends around the world. We've got so many friends. The Lord has given us friends. You know, if you want friends, just get into God's program. Get into His partnership. Get into His church. You'll have friends. It will happen automatically. You see, when you get saved, you're the baby, and they all claim you. Like a new baby coming into the home. Yeah, ask Grandpa whose baby it is. Ask Grandma whose baby it is. You know, ask the brother and sister whose baby it is. Every member of the family will claim them. When the Lord puts you in His corporate family, they all claimed you and treated you like their baby. In my home church, they called me Brother Bobby. But I've graduated to RJ. Amen. Nothing wrong with Brother Bobby. I was their baby. Praise God. And they all treated me like it. Was willing to help me in every respect. And on top of all of this, He's got more gifts. But if you will invite Him, He'll go home with you. He'll go home with you. There's a special guest in this service today. He is here. He promised us He would be here. He is here. And He's come to bless us. He's come to give us whatever we need. And I encourage you this morning to respond to this prayer invitation and come and ask the Lord what you need. I'm going to be praying with you and for you. Pastor's going to be praying with you and for you. And our wives will also be praying with us. But the Lord wants to hear you. He wants to hear from you. He's going to be listening to your prayer. And He won't get mixed up because all of us is praying together. I don't know how He does it. I can barely work with one. Amen. But He can hear us all at the same time. He knows you're serious about it. So at this time of prayer, I'm going to pray a brief prayer. I'm going to ask you to stand in a moment. I'm going to pray a brief prayer. I'm going to invite you to come for a time of prayer together. You can come. You can kneel at these altars. You can kneel at the first bench. You can stand. You can sit. If some people's knees don't work and they can't get down on their knees, if whatever position you've got available, the Lord will hear your prayer. Amen. You know, when we were young Christians, my wife had two little boys to take care of, our boys. And we had an evangelist who had some philosophies of his own. And she was talking about, I was so tired, and I went and laid down on the bed and prayed. And he said, you can't pray laying down. I don't know where he got his idea. You can pray standing on your head if you can get there. Amen. You, from whatever position you can pray for, the Lord is listening to your prayer, not the position of your body. Amen. He's listening to your heart. He's listening to your mind. He's listening to your spirit. And that's what He wants to hear. Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us. We thank You for Your message. We thank You for the challenge, Lord, that is given to us. We thank You for the many gifts that were mentioned this morning that are available at Your hands, Lord. You are our special guest in this service, Lord. And You have everything that we need for the body, mind, and soul, Lord. And I pray that You would minister to every person today, Lord. And You would give us what we need, Lord, as we come to You in prayer, knowing that You are here in this service with us this morning, Lord. Grant it to be that we might experience Your presence in each of our lives, in Jesus' name.